Our Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15. And as mentioned earlier, it's a perhaps different understanding of the Sabbath than we are used to. Hear now these words from Deuteronomy. Every seventh year, you shall grant a remission of debts. And this is the manner of the remission. Every creditor shall remit the claim that is held against a neighbor, not exacting it of a neighbor who is a member of the community, because the Lord's remission has been proclaimed. Of a foreigner, you may exact it, but you must remit your claim on whatever any member of your community owes you. There will, however, be no one in need among you, because the Lord is sure to bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you as a possession to occupy. If only you will obey the Lord your God by diligently observing this entire commandment that I command you today. When the Lord your God has blessed you, as he promised you, you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. You will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought, thinking, the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and therefore view your needy neighbor with hostility and give nothing. Your neighbor might cry to the Lord against you, and you would incur guilt. Give liberally and be ungrudging when you do so. For on this account, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. If a member of your community, whether a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and works for you 6 years, in the seventh year you shall set that person free. And when you send a male slave out from you, a free person, you shall not send him out empty-handed. Provide liberally out of your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press, thus giving to him some of the bounty with which the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. For this reason, I lay this command upon you today. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I have this box. It is a pretty big cardboard box. It sits against the wall near the corner of my bed, and it's sitting there because that's where Ben put it after a month of it sitting in the middle of the shared space of our bedroom. He needed it out of his way. It is about 3/4 full of clothes I either don't or can't wear anymore. I have to turn sideways each night in order to get around it to climb into bed. I have tripped over it many times in the dark, rushing to get a crying child. And it keeps collecting more stuff. Not inside, but on top. The magazine I haven't read yet, the clothes I was too tired to put away. Shamefully, I have to admit, this sweater was one of the things. It took me 20 minutes to find it this morning. The decorative pillow that I don't know where to put. Stuff just keeps piling up on top of my stuff. Oh, this box is in the way, and it has been there for months. Ben says it's been there for a year. I'm only admitting to months. It's just sitting there, waiting for me to release it. Waiting for me to let go of the stuff that's in it. Let me be clear, I am not attached to any of those clothes. It's been a year, I don't remember what they look like. They can go. But in my head, I just keep thinking that it's only 3/4 of the way full. I can finish filling it up. One day, I'm going to have the time to go through and clean out all my clothes and add all the ones that should be in the box into that box. And then I'll release it. Friends, it's not just clothes. I have a box of pictures I haven't unpacked from when we moved. I have dishes that have never seen the light of day. And you're all laughing at me because you know the reality of being overwhelmed by your stuff too. Maybe it's not clothes, maybe it's not dishes. The stuff you can't let go of might be different than my stuff. But almost all of us have trouble with our stuff. Last week, we began our series on Sabbath by recognizing our need for rest, recognizing that we struggle with lives that are out of balance or that become chaotic and too full. We choose Sabbath not because we've gotten all of it done, but because it's a fallacy to think we ever will. And so we rest. Choosing to rest, choosing to take Sabbath, sets us free from the relentless cycle. It helps us stand against the slavery of consumerism and capitalism that insist we must do more and be more, produce more and buy more. We choose Sabbath as a resistance because in it we declare that we are enough. Here, now. Without our to-do list done, without that box moved, we are enough. And so we can rest. Today's scripture expands our idea of Sabbath beyond a weekly habit of rest and points us toward a regular practice of releasing. Every seventh year, you shall grant a remission of debts. That word, remission, it's the same root as release. It literally means to let go. You shall let go of debts. Jesus is going to use this same word in his very first sermon when he reads from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives." There is good news. There is freedom in letting go. In this view, the Sabbath is not about being idle. It is instead a practice of letting go of control, letting go of productivity, of money, of stuff, of the people we try to control, of anger, of resentment, of anything that might be holding us captive. Sabbath is about release. And that release is so important that in this section of scripture, there is a system put into place to show Israel how to do it. There are instructions on how it should work. There is a marking of time so that it has clear boundaries. There is a reminder that if the people will listen to this command, then they won't have any poor among them. And then there is an acknowledgement that the people probably won't be as faithful in listening to this plan. And so, of course, there will be poor and vulnerable around you. And so there is a reminder to be generous, to open both hearts and hands toward those around you. And this is where I think the idea of releasing gets really powerful. Practicing a remission, practicing letting go of debts, benefits the most vulnerable in society. It protects them. It reorders the economic system so that no one is stuck. Everyone gets a chance to break out of the system holding them captive. And so I love this vision of God's community being one in which the vulnerable are valued, and that there are practices in place that, if we adopt them, might help us truly value others too, to see others as neighbors and as equals. But more than that, these practices also benefit those of us who are less vulnerable, those of us with more wealth and more power, because those same cycles trap us too. Our stuff can be a burden. We know what it is to be overwhelmed by our things. We know the ways in which having more causes us to want more and then forces us to enter into a cycle where it's never, ever enough. Practicing release changes our hearts. It can change our hearts in relation to our things, and it can also change the ways in which we feel about others. Have you ever loaned someone money and then become more and more bitter as you watch them spend money on what you perceive to be frivolous things? That cycle can erode relationships. It can harden our hearts toward those who need an open heart more than anything. But this cycle of being released from debts encourages lending, encourages us to give without expecting to get anything back because there's a time limit. At some point, you'll have to release the debt, which can change the heart of the lender. It can move us to a place of generosity. And man, generosity breeds generosity. The scripture says, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. Give liberally, and do not be grudging when you do so. Because the actions of our hands reflect on and impact the feelings in our hearts. Having a practice of giving helps us to give more. Opening our hands aids us in opening our hearts. And it works in both directions. Generosity breeds generosity. One of the things Ben named last week is that we know these things. We know this. We know that we should let go. But God gives it as a command because even though we know it's the right thing, and even though we know it will make us feel better, it's hard for us to actually do it. In fact, it is doubtful that Israel ever actually lived into this 7-year cycle where everyone's debts were let go. And yet, there is something incredibly helpful about having that horizon in place, this reminder that you can't take it with you. That reminder helps us get closer to letting go. This is actually a benefit of age. Many folks, in my experience, as they get older, are able to shift their relationship to their stuff, be it personal possessions or wealth. When you know very clearly that you probably won't be alive in 7 years, often your attachment to the stuff you can't take with you changes. So does your investment in those things and people that will outlive you. That changes too. The command for Sabbath release every 7 years gives that same set horizon. When you know that the economic system will reset every 7 years, your relationship to your stuff and your money changes. Your relationship to your neighbor changes. And so in this view, Sabbath release can become more than just a pause. But as Brueggemann encourages, it can become a reimagination of social life. Sabbath can not only refresh, but it can also transform. So imagine with me, what might Sabbath release look like in your life? What might it look like in our common life? What are the things that you might need to let go? I could start by giving my box of clothes away. But even here, we bump up against a barrier. That box has been sitting there for a year, or a few months. But some of the barrier to me releasing it is that there isn't a deadline. There's no horizon, no practice that forces my hand. And so it is not enough to know that we need to let go. We must also set ourselves a time. Set aside a time. I think that's why the scripture is very clear about the time. Every week, every 7 years, we need rhythms to make our practices work. We need deadlines. So maybe you could start a daily practice of releasing yourself from consumerism by getting rid of all those magazines that are just ads that come in the mail. Or maybe you could set a weekly limit to the number of times you go to the store. I would have to add or go to Amazon.com to that list. Perhaps a monthly release of going to the community meal and sharing food with your vulnerable neighbors. Or a yearly release of giving money to a group either in need or doing something that you believe in. Maybe those aren't the things that hold you captive. But whatever it is for you, set yourself a timeline. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. What about us as a community? How might we dream together and dream together well as a part of our practice of letting go? It's striking. The scripture has some pretty clear ideas about the process of freeing slaves. Should our community spend 6 months learning all we can about reparations? Or a year exploring immigration? Or 1 week a month spend some time talking about the impacts of climate change on the vulnerable? Walter Brueggemann warns that the practice of Sabbath, be it rest or release, needs the help of community. It is far too difficult to do these practices alone. We need each other. And so could we find creative ways to routinely and intentionally support one another as we make difficult decisions to positively impact these issues? And positively impact the vulnerable in our midst? I think so. Who knows? Maybe our intentional practices of release could help us reimagine the world in a way that creates a new heifer project, like we read about in the children's time. Dan West and his community, maybe even Faith the Cow, they had to be doing some holy reimagining together. And they did change the socioeconomic status quo. Who knows? Who knows what we may dream up for this time and this place if we take the time to rest and if we take the time to release? One of the things I continue to be struck by in these texts on Sabbath is that they are both a warning and an invitation. They show us who we can become: hard-hearted, tight-fisted, those who take advantage of the vulnerable. And they show us who we can become. They show us who we can become if we practice Sabbath rest and release. Open-hearted, open-handed, those who view the vulnerable as neighbors and family. May we be people who rest, people who release, people who dream well. Amen.